May it please Almighty God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his holy word. Let's turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 37, and we'll read verse 23. The book of Psalms, Psalm 37, and reading verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. It is encouraging to realize that David wrote this psalm when he was an old man. We're told in verse 25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. So we see that here we have a man of God who, under the blessed influence of the Spirit of God, was able to write such grand and glorious truths, and to tell us, therefore, that he was old, and therefore clearly he'd seen a God going before him and God directing him. And as we read such a word as this, the steps of a good man are ordered, or as the margin says, established by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And such a positive statement should be an encouragement to us to realize that we walk in a path ordained by Almighty God, and how wonderful that is to think that although perhaps we may make mistakes, indeed the next verse tells us, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And so we can believe that the Lord leads us, and that we walk in the way that he has ordained for us. And there may be those times when there are slips and there are falls, and these things really will occur to teach us how frail we are, how frail we are spiritually, and how easily we can be sidetracked, and how easily we can be tempted by our great adversary, the devil. And so to realize that even in those things, we won't be utterly cast down. The Lord will hold us up. And as you think of David himself and his life, how he was left to sadly fall with the adultery of Bathsheba and then the murder of her husband, things utterly wrong. And yet he was able to write the 51st Psalm and show there his sorrow and his contrition for the sin, seeking for forgiveness and realizing that he had offended Almighty God. So though the Lord allowed him to fall on that occasion, he was still in that path, in those steps, ordered by the Lord to bring him to that condition and that situation where he was able to write and to testify of what the Lord had done for him and inclined him to indeed confess our sins, as we read this morning in that chapter of John, the ninth verse in that first chapter. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let us never be afraid or never be embarrassed to come and confess our sins, because God knows all about us anyway. He knows all our thoughts, all our words, all our actions. Nothing is hidden from Almighty God. So what a blessing it is if God gives us that spirit of prayer to come and to confess our sins. And it's all part of this pathway, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Yes, God orders our way. And what a mercy it is. If you and I were left to order our own way, we'd make massive mistakes. We would never walk a way that would be profitable for us. We would always be pleasing ourselves. We would never have the desire to honor and glorify our God. We would always be thinking of honoring and glorifying ourselves. So what a blessing it is to realize that we have a statement like this, and to think that it's written by David, a man after God's own heart, a man who was directed and blessed greatly, but yet a man who was left to realize his weakness and his foolishness. And we have these accounts in the Word of God to direct us in our lives today. So the Word of God is so beautifully written, so wonderfully organized, so great instruction it contains. And to be able to read it and to recognize the power that it comes and directs to our own souls and speaks to us in the unknown way in which it is. As we read down this psalm, I was just reminded of an occasion in my own life, and I may have spoken to you about it before, but it was probably in about 1984 when we were on holiday in Cyprus, and we were worshipping with the brethren, and it was a good time of worship. And after the morning service, the leader came up to me and he said, "Well, you'll speak tonight." And I said, "Well, hold on a minute, I'm not sure about that." And he said, "Well..." So I said, "I'll think about it." Well, I was concerned about the ministry, but I never preached before, and I never told anybody about it, really. Anyway, I went back to the hotel where we were staying, and these words, the fifth verse, came into my heart: "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And I was able to think upon it, and so I phoned him up and said, "Well, I would come and preach." Well, I went and preached for the first time in my life to an unknown congregation, and we know not, of course, what good it did, but I always remember there was a woman who was in the congregation. She was quite clearly concentrating on every word that I said. So we don't know, but there was that situation then. I was able to come, commit my way unto the Lord, and believe also that what these words were true. The steps of a good man were ordered in my life. Some people, of course, would have criticized me for what I did, but we each have to stand before God, and we each have to do God's will and bow down to his command. And so it was an unlooked for and surprising situation. And it was, of course, many years after that before I really started preaching. I went through very many difficult times from that day. But God is merciful. And what we prove, the Church of God proves the value and the truth of such a statement as this: the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We don't rush along in our own way. If we do, we're often brought back, we're often corrected. But it's good to realize that we have a God who leads us, and a God who guides us, and a God who directs us. There's a wonderful word in the Proverbs, but it occurs twice in the Proverbs. But let me just quote one of those places, and that's in the 16th chapter and the 9th verse. "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Sometimes you and I can plan in our minds what's going to be a wonderful way, a wonderful path, how glorious it will be. It may be utterly wrong. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And how wonderful that is, to realize that although our heart may desire one way, to not be left to our own way, but to be directed by the great and glorious Spirit of Almighty God. The Lord directeth his steps. And so, just like this statement here, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And this also tells us that there is movement. We're not standing still. No, the steps, we're moving forward. It's good to realize that. But the Lord directs our steps. Sometimes it's very tempting to do nothing, to just stand still and not move. And yet, if the Lord is in it, and if the Lord is directing our steps, we are to walk in that path that Almighty God is leading us in. We may not know where it's going to lead us to. We may not know what the end will be. But it's a great blessing to have the answer of a good conscience. You know, we are told, the fear of man bringeth a snare. And often, sometimes, we're more concerned about pleasing man than we are about pleasing God. We're more concerned about doing that which we think will be agreeable to poor sinful man than the great God. And it's good, therefore, to have the Word of God, which directs us very clearly, like it does here, where David says, yes, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Lord doesn't leave us to wander on aimlessly. Sometimes it may seem it's like that. Sometimes it may seem we're in the wilderness. Well, don't forget what Jacob was. We're told about him. The Lord found him in the waste-howling wilderness. He led him about. He ordered his steps. He led him about. He instructed him. And he kept him as the apple of his eye. Well, we know a bit about Jacob's life, don't we? We know it wasn't a perfect life. But what we know is that God was with him. And God was directing him. It's very wonderful to realize that. And it's good sometimes to ponder the accounts in God's word, the characters that are there mentioned, like Joseph, well-known character we know, and we should realize that how applicable was this word in his life. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. No doubt, when he was in prison, he wouldn't have agreed with that. He may have been very tempted. Well, we know that he was tried and tempted when he was in prison. And to be told, Joseph, the steps you're walking are good and right, would have been hard to understand, wouldn't it? Would have been hard to appreciate. But as we look at the life of Joseph, we see how gracious God was and what a wonderful deliverance he had from prison. And how the Lord, you see, had that work for him to do. He was hidden away, wasn't he, in prison. Sometimes we may think that God's forgotten us. He's forgotten all about us. And here we are wandering on. No, God hasn't forgotten. But just remember the truth of God's word. Your time is always, but my time is not yet. See, God has a perfect time. Our time is very unperfect. God knows the end from the beginning. You and I don't. We only know what's happening now. And what a mercy to realize that God is with us. And he was with Joseph through all those trying and difficult years after he'd been sold into Egypt. Yes, what a difficult life it was, but God was with him. Now that's a blessing, isn't it? If God is with us, and if God gives us grace, and he gives us patience to realize, although the way doesn't seem to be working out in the way that we anticipated, but what it is, it's ordered, it's established by Almighty God. We don't want to be left to ourselves, do we? No, we want God to direct us, we want God to bless us in every step that we take. We don't want to take a false step. Sometimes, you know, we get rather worked up and we want God to work now. Well, God has his time. You and I must realize continually we are but little insignificant sinners on the earth. And to think that Almighty God has looked down upon us and has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light of his everlasting gospel. And he's leading us about and he's instructing us. The word they often quote in the 107th Psalm, he led them forth by the right way. They may go to a city of habitation. God doesn't make mistakes. It's good to realize that, to realize that God is kind and God is gracious and God is merciful. What a favor it is then to be in that situation and to recognize the goodness and mercy of Almighty God. Well, as we've quoted part of this verse 25 and again the 16th chapter of Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, if something is attracted to us, often we think it seems right. Possibly when things are unattractive to us, it's right. The way which we don't want is the way that God leads us in and the way that God instructs us in. And the reason is this: when we find ourselves in that position, it makes us dependent upon God. When things aren't working out as we anticipated, it makes us cry to the Lord that he will appear, that he will direct us, that he will strengthen us, that he will comfort us, and he will go before us. It's important, isn't it? Therefore, you see, as we find our steps are ordered by the Lord, and he refers, doesn't he? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and in and of ourselves, of course, we're not good. We're bad, we're sinners of the earth, but through the grace of God, that grace which has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light directs us indeed in the right way. And then you see we are willing, we're made willing. Naturally, we don't become willing of ourselves, but God makes us willing. He makes us willing to walk in that way, to know that our steps are ordered by the Lord. And that, as we look back in our life, we realise how very humbling it is to think that sometimes the Lord appears in a very remarkable way and instructs us and teaches us and directs us a way that we didn't look for. And yet you see it is a very humbling way. We can go, can't we, to the New Testament, and we can think of Paul and Silas. They were forbidden to go where they thought they should go. And the Acts of the Apostles in the 16th chapter tells us of the experience that they were called to walk in. And we read there, and after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. You see, they had to obey the word of Almighty God. And what was the result? What we're told is, they passed him by Mysia and came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So that God had a different direction for Paul and Silas. It wasn't in Mysia. No, it was to be to go to Macedonia. And again, it's just worth pondering that position. Their steps were ordered by the Lord. They obeyed the word of God. And they went to Macedonia. And we would think that doing that, God would indeed have been with them and greatly blessed them and encouraged them, and all things would have gone smoothly. Well, God was with them, but things didn't go smoothly. Indeed, they went in a very opposite direction. They were able to come, and we're told, and it's good to read this, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Well, there they were. Now, two things occurred. First of all, they went down to the river where prayer was wont to be made. And there was Lydia and her friends with her. And the word of God through Paul was powerful in her heart. So it was made a great blessing to her. And the result was that she followed the Lord and was baptized. And then Paul was preaching the gospel, and that wasn't liked. And also he spoke against a woman, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination. And again, the people didn't like that. And therefore they were brought to the magistrates, and the multitude rose up against them. And we're told they rose up together against them. Remember, they were doing the Lord's will. They were walking in the footsteps that God directed them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. For although they were doing God's will, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. There they were, in prison, being beaten. They were doing God's will. Let us not be surprised, therefore, if things work out in this way. But there was still to be a time of blessing. There was a man, the jailer, and his house, that God had a mercy to. And therefore God came in that time when they were in prison, caused an earthquake, caused a jailer to indeed attempt to take his life, and told to stop by Paul, and then came in with those glorious words and asked the Pope, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? What a blessing, wasn't it? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And so we see there was a good outcome, but we see God's mysterious working. Not the way that you and I would have thought, but there was no doubt about it that the steps of Paul and Silas were indeed ordered by the Lord. And they were willing to follow that. So you and I, in the day and age in which we live, should not be, should I say, disappointed if sometimes things appear to be going in an opposite direction. They still pursued the right way. What a blessing it is, therefore, to always have a desire to obey Almighty God and not to be left to ourselves. Remember also, in the case of Esther, we read that account, don't we? And we think how wonderful it was. And yet we know that Esther was very fearful of carrying out Mordecai's commands, because she knew that if she went before the king and he didn't hold out the golden scepter, that there was only one result, that she would lose her life. But her steps were ordered by the Lord. And she was able to declare that great and glorious phrase, I will go, and if I perish, I perish. Submission to the Lord's way. Submission to walk in the right way, to be blessed with that desire to follow the steps that God had ordained. And of course, as we know, Mordecai had told her that perhaps she'd come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And that's the same today in our lives. We may come to a place, to a situation, for such a time as this. God had ordained that her steps would be ordered, that through her the Jewish nation would be delivered. Well, you and I know not what is before us in our little lives, especially in the tumultuous times, really, in which we live. But the great favour is to realise that God is with us, and God is directing us, and God is blessing us. Even though we find our life is not easy, perhaps very contrary to what we expected. You see, we always paint a rather pleasant picture for ourselves. We always think that things are going to work out so very marvellously for us, but we find they do work out marvellously for us, but often not in the way that we anticipated. And really, the underlying truth is this. As we are directed, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The path that the Lord directs us in, if we are the children of God, is to bring us closer to Christ. Bring us closer to Christ. And if you and I are to be brought closer to Christ, it will be really in the way that the Apostle Paul look forward to be blessed with fellowship with his sufferings. And that may sound very strange, and that may sound very hard, and you and I in our minds may turn away from such a situation and think, well, I couldn't possibly be blessed and walk in that path. The Lord knows what he's planned for you and me. Our steps, his steps, that you and I will walk in. Paul's steps were directed so that he was able to preach the gospel. His steps were directed so that he was made a blessing to the jailer and his family. We don't know what the Lord has in store for us. But Paul was blessed to desire fellowship with Christ. Even in that time of suffering, he knew the blessing that was to be enjoyed. Because spiritual blessings are so wonderful. Spiritual blessings bring peace into our hearts. And they bring peace in our hearts for this reason, that we can see that our steps have been ordered by the Lord. And he's brought us into this way. We're walking through life. Our lives are hasting away. We don't want to get to the end of our journey and know nothing of fellowship with a despised and crucified man. Because if we don't, we'll never appreciate the wonder of glory. We'll never be found looking forward to see our suffering Saviour. We'll always be looking for other things. But it's a great blessing if God orders our steps to show us our utter unworthiness and his wonderful love and his glorious mercy. See, that puts us in a right state. And what does that really do? It establishes us in the truth of God, and it puts us on the rock Christ Jesus, so that then we realize the things that perhaps we were anticipating were just moving, just like the sand would disappear, to be able to say from our heart, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. And you and I won't come there unless we've been directed by Almighty God, unless our steps have been ordered by the Lord. And then, just very quickly, he says, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Well, I wonder if you and I delight in the way that the Lord is leading us. Perhaps we're complaining. Perhaps we're rebelling. And yet to realize that God, in love to our souls, is leading us in this right way, that we might come indeed at last to glory. And you see, God knows what you and I need to fit us for our eternal home. We don't get to the end of our natural life without the blessed work of the Lord fitting us to leave this world and to enter into glory. The Lord takes us in hand. And he deals with us in love to our souls. And we by nature are a pretty rough lump of rock. We've got to be shaped. We've got to be moulded. The sharp corners have got to be cut off. The ridges have got to be ground down so that we're made fit for our eternal inheritance. It's the work of Almighty God. And here we have it spoken very clearly. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. There's nothing really more blessed than to know that God's hand is upon us for good. It hasn't left us to wander on aimlessly through this poor old world. But his hand is upon us, leading us in the right way. That way which brings us closer to Christ, that way which is a preparation for our eternal home. Remember, glory is a prepared place for a prepared people. We don't get to glory unless we have been prepared by the blessed Spirit of God. And it's His work, and we delight in His work. We delight to realize that He hasn't passed us by as we so richly deserve. Look around and see how many have been passed by. How humbling it is if we have that wonderful evidence the Lord has not passed us by, but He's come to us and He's called us, and He's spoken those glorious words, live. And you and I live when we walk in this path and we realize the Lord is gracious and the Lord is mindful of us. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. It's good to ponder such a word as this. I remember it being preached from here many, many years ago by Vernon Farley, who was the pastor at Smallfield. And here he spoke on this, I remember quite clearly. What a good thing it is to remember words like this, which are directed to our spiritual life, so that we can be encouraged to believe the Lord is dealing with us as sons and daughters of the Most High God, and that we are being prepared for our eternal home. What a blessing that is. How comforting, how strengthening it is. So ponder these words. The steps of a good man are, no doubt about it, are ordered or established by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Amen.